Yeah. He lived across the slough, and I lived on the other side of the slough. But for a long time, my mother liked to visit with Maggie Lind, and that's where John Active was always, yeah. He was very enterprising. I must have been 10 years old when he asked me to join the Brown Slough Boys Club. And he had a little card made up, and he said, if you give a dollar to this organization, you will be part of this group. Of course, I didn't have a dollar, but yeah, he was very creative and enterprising. And he always practiced, the Yupik, the culture. I guess he learned all that from Maggie Lind. The singing, the songs, the stories. Yeah, it was ingrained in him. He practiced that, and sharing food. He was just creative. He was a good storyteller. He told stories like the old traditional stories that I heard as a boy, spoken in the Yupik language, the traditional language. A lot of expression, a lot of emotion. He was not monotone when he told his story. He was expressing every feeling that you could imagine, and he magnetized you to his voice, the story. You were really involved in that.
Well, weren't you involved in the radio station too, Peter?
Yeah, I worked at the radio station, and that's where I got to know John very well. In 75, he became the Yupik news manager.
So did he hire you?
No, actually, Andy Edge hired me in Bethel. And but that was after I'd worked at the housing, Asha Housing, when they had the Asha building on 3rd Avenue as a broadcast station, much like this room in here. Mm-hmm. Nothing fancy, just the microphones, the turntable, and the equipment and transmitters, and that was it. Yeah, I did Yupik News for a while. They'd call me in. Mm-hmm. That was before they got a good group of people that they could pool together to call in to do news when someone wasn't there. So I just kind of filled in. Yeah, John, he was a character. But very genuine. He was real. And he could engage the people. Elders, he loved the elders. I guess he loved everyone, kids. You know, as late as 2016, I worked at the radio station for a couple months, and I got there at 6 a.m., but John was always there at 7 a.m. with his salted fish, salmon fish, his moose, his berries, and he cooked for everyone there, breakfast or lunch. He shared his food, the traditional foods that he kept in his home, he brought to the station and fed people. He said, I want to teach these Western people that come to work here about our foods and our culture of sharing. He was amazing.
Oh, yeah, you could go to the KYUK and open up the refrigerator and there'd be a duck in it.
Or sea oil. Yeah. Yeah, there was always native food in there when John was there.
What do you think? Why do you think he was so funny?
Yeah, he had a great imagination. And he took our Yupik people who couldn't speak fluent English, and sometimes their words weren't quite exactly like Social Security, might be Sophie Security. So John, he wrote up scripts of funny things that we could do, little radio spots that we did that were funny and had the people out there engaged and listening and always expecting to hear something new, something that was going on that day or that week. John would write it in a little script and we'd put it on the radio. And it was just a fun thing to do. Turn on the radio and you didn't hear Molly and Fibber McGee, but there was John active, you know. And we did the young man and old man. And it was a great time. Jim Barker came along with his snow machine Bob and, you know, everybody got into it.
They took on characters.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And people still remember those. Not exactly what was said, but the characters, yeah. They live on. And John Active is a legend. So there was humor in everything. We had to find a way to laugh about things. Yeah, John Active was engaged. And he could talk to elders in the traditional way. And the humor that that the elders had in their village, in their steam houses, in their smoke houses, John knew how to manipulate those, you know, situations in such a way that he could apply and include them into his conversation with the elders on the radio, live. And they felt right at home with John because he could do that. He knew the culture inside out. Without humor, you couldn't be serious, you know, take everything seriously. You had to put a little twist, like you said, into things. And made it more engaging, interesting.
And more human, more real.
Oh, yeah. John was real. Yep. He spoke his mind, and if he wasn't happy with something, he came right out with it. One thing I think John was never happy about was the Westerners coming in, colonizing the country, the native community, and changing names for their convenience from the traditional Yupik names to English names. And that kind of broke away from relations with villages, with different people. Having your own name, which didn't have any relevance to this grandfather and this great-grandmother, and how we were all interrelated, we kind of broke away from that for a little bit. And I think that's some of the causes for drinking and the changes that were going on back then in the early days. Yeah. Yeah, he was a Yupik. And the definition of Yupik, that was John Active. And he could intertwine the new ways with the old ways. And, yeah, I think he got a lot of his foundation from his grandmother. All the values. And he practiced them. Because I believe Maggie Lind, his grandmother, when she passed on to the spirit world, was looking down at John, who was living what he learned from her. He was practicing the traditions. He followed through and fulfilled that journey that Maggie Lind had started. Mm-hmm. He carried it on to his last days, you know.
And John one night told me that he was gay, and I said, well, John, I know that. He said, I never told you. I said, well, I always wondered what it would be like to have that in you and live in a small community and have as much visibility as you do. I think it must be really tough. I've always wondered whether how hard that was. I mean, he said, well, you know, I come to Anchorage and love to go at that, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the elders always said that when a person is leaning towards femininity, that they are mistaken in their identity. It was no big deal. And then later we started understanding that we are part woman and part man, and we have those characteristics. And we didn't condemn anyone. But the Westerners, missionaries came in and said that was wrong to be gay. But I didn't look at John like there was anything terribly wrong. If the elder said he was mistaken, then that was just a fact of life, you know. We didn't condemn anyone for being gay. But
you know what I'm reminded of?
No.
John is telling me right now, while in your words, while you're speaking, I'm hearing John saying, you know, Johanna, those missionaries thought they were coming to convert us, but we had a lot more to teach them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be John Active's way of thinking. Yeah, thank you, John, for being a great role model and example for our people, the Yupik people. Thank you, Brianna.